Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 58 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Clear. 55 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Clear. 54 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 53 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 51 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Clear. 51 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Sunny. 50 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Sunny. 51 degrees.
KS8EDQ monitoring. W8FQ.
Good morning. 08 hundred hours. Sunny. 59 degrees.
I am W8FU. Who are you?
I am hungry. WF.
You're hungry.
Yeah, I'm in a McDonald's drive-thru. WF.
Well, I can't eat because I've got lunch plans and I don't want to ruin them. But I am going to get a coffee. So, there's that.
Coffee's always good. Sorry, got to talk to somebody at a window. WF.
Not sure I'm getting your call. You think WF7? Everybody I'm missing it.
Whiskey Foxtrot, boy, X-ray.
Oh, okay. There you go, Randy. I was not hearing it. I'm like, man, what am I missing?
It's a horrible voice call, but it slams on PW.
Yepers. There you go.
You can tell where my interest lies. All right. They're taking my money. WSOX.
All right. Catch you later. WAW.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Sunny. 64 degrees.
WRCY, WTD. WATD.
Good morning, KCKDO.
Hey there. Being a little wavy today, so I was programming my radios a little bit, putting some IDs in them, things of that nature, but I'm going to have to get out of here quickly, but I wanted to make sure everything was right. How are you, and how do I sound?
I'm doing well on the way to my follow-up appointment with my primary care, and you are 5'9".
Okay, well, I figured that part. Just the audio pretty good, not too hot, not too cold.
Nope, crisp, clear, and single level.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, good luck with your test, or your visit, I should say. Let's get the wording right. I've been messing up wording lately. Seems to be a thing when you get old. So, okay, very good. I've been playing around with my XTL radios. That's what I'm talking to you on right now. I've kind of fallen in love with these things.
Good. Crisp and clear to me.
Very good. Okay. All right, sir. I'm going to let you go. I have got to take some things out to the garbage, and I have got to call for an inspection. I've gotten a call already on it. How come I haven't done it? And I didn't have the heart to tell him, well, because I'm playing radio.
Doing some additional paperwork for something else. All right, go take out your trash and catch you on the slip. 73, KCKGO.
Take care, sir. You have a good day. Throw your call back out when you're done with the visit. I'll make sure you're doing well. WAPD.
Good morning, 1000 hours, sunny, 70 degrees.
W8RJD, mobile.
Our green onion.
Oh, that's coming up nice.
Check your mic.
Good morning, 1100 hours, sunny, 74 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, sunny, 77 degrees.
See what that's all about.
remember those days. Ceremony for everything. You know, so keep getting notices that our grandkids have things at their school, but that's in California, so that's, we only get to maybe one of those a year.
Yep, that's a little bit of a drive to get out there for that. They're growing fast. Another 3 years, I'll have a high schooler.
Yeah, that is freaky. I mean, our grandson just turned 10, and I'm just thinking, wow, and, you know, in 6 years he'll be driving.
Just yesterday they were coming out of the womb.
Yeah. So where are you right now?
Just past exit 89 on 55.
I'm not... Ooh, exit 89. Where is that? That's got to be... Ortonville or something like that?
Sashabar Road. Over by Pine Knob.
Oh, okay. Well, you're absolutely solid. So, that's good. I'm glad it's working well up there.
I know with the old machine, I used to be able to carry that... pretty much all the way to 101, talking to WAAE when I was moving up to Grand Blanc. He would pretty much talk to him the whole way up there.
Yeah, well, there, when the other machine was working, comparable power level, so the receiver's about the same too. So, yeah, it's just that this one should be a lot more reliable.
Yeah, it's got an M on it. But, I know it fills in that gap where between Warren and Holly. Is once you lose this one, you're in solid in Holly.
Yeah, that ridge that runs right up through there. That's always been an issue.
Yeah, dark geography.
Well, could be in California with all those mountain ranges and valleys and stuff. I don't know how they could necessary coverage they need out there for those areas.
Well, one advantage of having mountains is you got high points, so you can really get some good coverage with not a lot of infrastructure, so probably doing a lot of point-to-point microwave links and hitting all the tops.
Yeah, I think microwave links are passe. You know, everybody's got doing fiber optics now. You can be very high. It's always fun to drive around. You can always tell when you're at the highest spot with all the antennas are.
Yeah, we were in Tucson, Arizona, and it's a cool place because everything's pretty flat, and then there's just like individual mountains everywhere. So, yeah, one mountain they would put all the antennas up there and get coverage for the whole area.
Yeah, I remember Phoenix is kind of like that. It's really pretty flat, but then there's that, Camelback Mountain right in the middle. That's pretty tall.
Yeah, that's, we flew into Phoenix and broke down into Tucson, so, yeah. driving up one the one mountain just so he could find snow in Arizona.
Yeah, that was weird. One time we were out there and it was, you know, 80 degrees and we're driving, I think, to Scottsdale from Phoenix, and on the side of the road on a golf, there was like a golf course, there was a snowman. I remember that we stopped, actually, and when our kids were little or something, and we got a picture of, you know, standing next to the snowman in 80 degree weather. I have no idea how that got there.
Yeah, we like to see people on that mountain that you're on. Thinking about now, I was like, man, we should have gone skiing. That would have been cool to go skiing in Arizona. But, it was a cool trip. We were really into horses then, and we spent the whole day at a dude ranch riding horses all around.
Yeah, I think it was also in Phoenix. We saw people just riding their horses in around the city. And I think one place had a Dixie at a hitching post. So, I guess it's kind of required out there, you know. You got to have a garage for two cars and a horse.
Yeah, if it works, it works. Got a little bit of the Wild West there still. I think their place had they had like over 100 horses or something like that. And it was a cool little ranch that you got to ride in the desert and go into the national park there and check out all the cacti and stuff.
Yeah, we went to desert museum. It was really cool. All the desert animals and wildlife, that was fascinating.
Yeah, we went down to some cave down almost to the Mexico border. And that was pretty cool. You go in there, it's all dark, and then while you're in there, they turn, and you don't really see what's out there, and then they kick the lights on in this huge cavern with all the stalactites and stalagmites everywhere. It kind of looked like a big Gothic cathedral.
All right. So where are you right now? Just to give the coverage.
Well, I'm flipped over to Holly now. It started to get noisy at about a little after 93. I'm on a quarter wave.
Okay. I'm on the Warren machine now because I'm heading east, so. All right, I'll let you go. I got to see if Wally's out there. If you got Wally, if you're out there, jump in. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. ABAY, ABAR.
Popping up in Discord there, so I don't know.
Aw, that is.
Did you get any more kitty vomit?
No, she fell asleep in her new pouch. So. Although when I went to get up to go to the street center to start a new print job, she wasn't sure about me, you know, being in it while I'm moving.
Yeah.
did my scan get me?
Did what get you?
I was, my radio was in a scan, I unkeyed and I'm like, where am I?
I heard an awe and you called and then asked how the kitty mama was.
Hey, I must have keyed it somewhere else. I, none yet, but she's been, she was sitting in her, I got a pouch for her to sit in because she likes to come up into my face and I have to hold her with my arm. And I, it gets tiring and I'm kind of tight, or I can't, one hand all the time, so. I got a kangaroo pouch. And, she was in it today, well, she's been in it, and then when I went to get up, to go to the printer, to, or the workshop to start a new 3D print, she was like, no, I don't know if I like this, and so she jumped out.
You sound lovely. I gotta get to the school for a thing at 1:30, but I'm gonna be about an hour early. Just too short to go home, and too long to stay.
Oh, yes, I heard you, I guess.
Graduation.
Yeah, they call it a recognition ceremony or something. I don't know if it's graduation or what the deal is with it. It's kind of weird.
Oh, it's a way because everybody wants to have a ceremony.
You get a congratulations, you get another year.
Yep, a couple of days off a middle schooler.
Is this your last one to go middle or no? First one.
The first one, so. Yeah, next year I get to try to get them to two different schools.
Wow.
Yeah, at least it's only a 1 year problem, not a two or three.
Well, there is that. As I say, my nephew turned 10 hours just now, so he's got one more year? I don't remember now. I forget what grade it is. And then this is my niece, my last niece is, I think, Chase is going into 8, so isn't that one? That's the last middle school year.
Should be fourth grade. That's what my that's what the youngest is in.
All right. So the next year would be fifth. Or wait, yeah. So next year would be fifth grade. So one more year.
Yep. Middle school starts at sixth grade here. For me, it was seventh and eighth grade.
Well, my nephew's in Arizona, so I don't remember. For me, it was 6th, 7th, and 8th were middle school. 6th, 7th, and 8th were middle school, and then, yeah. I want to say 2 years? They moved 6th grade from elementary to middle. I want to say 2 or 3 years before I made it that far.
Depends on how they want to do it. I think I heard they had 9th grade would still be in middle school in some places. I know in McComb Township where we were, like the 9th grade was in a whole separate building. Like they'd be in the high school, but it's like a whole separate building on the same campus. And then once you're 10th grade, you go in the main campus. And then you're there for the 3 years.
say, we got, what, in Grand Blanc, your two middle schools?
Yeah.
I think it's two middle schools, east and west, isn't there? Because my niece is the one that's down the street here tonight.
Yep, that's east and west, the one high school. My school district, we have three high schools.
Oh my.
Didn't even cover the whole city.
Well, in Holly we had three elementaries, and then they built a fourth. So they have four elementaries, middle school, and high school. And they built the new high school. We were the first class to graduate from the new high school.
They were adding on all through my years in high school, and they were just opening it up when we graduated, so we didn't get to enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess to put up with the crap from it, but yeah.
Deal with all the construction and that whole mess. And the only thing we got to do is like our all-night party for when we were seniors was held in the new cafeteria.
Well, you got to enjoy a little bit of it.
Yeah, we had, at the old high school, there were portables and all that crap, so they had burned down I was in seventh grade? I was in middle school. And Doofus has burned down one of the wings. So they had a bunch of portables out there from that, and, yeah.
Yeah, we had a couple portables just because we ran out of classrooms. I think four classrooms are out in the little trailers out in the back. I just didn't have the space.
Oh, the park bus, the 198. It's almost there. We only got 35% public left, though. So. You better hurry. I don't have any more pellets. I thought that was the last pellet I dumped in this morning.
You should be fine. You're probably done now.
Yeah, it's only at 13 hours. So, I did put the probe in the biggest, the bigger of the two. There was a 13-pound and a 10-pound butt. So. Of course, when you buy one, get one free, you pay for the bigger one.
Yeah, I think 198, you'll still be able to pull it. Worst case, if you run out of pellets, it's already taken as much smoke as it's going to get. You can throw it in the oven and finish it off.
Oh, yeah, it was 10 hours I put them in the tray and wrapped them.
I had done that before. I had a turkey that just feels like windy and cold, and I just could not keep the temp up in the pit. It's like, well, this turkey's already got as much smoke as it's going to take, and I'm tired of dealing with this, so I finished her off in the oven.
Yeah, but it's almost 2 o'clock, it's almost 1 o'clock, and by then, I know I got at least another couple hours of pellets in here, but it should be fine. 199, it just went up to, so. I do not want to run the oven at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when, we double our rates or whatever the hell it is.
That electric oven? I bought the propane back in December.
Yeah, it was electric. I mean, yes, I'm running the pit, which is only 20 watts or whatever the hell it is right now. But obviously, it's a lot cheaper electricity when I run the pit. But I've got the 3D print, or I got printer one going, I've got the filament dryer going, which the filament dryer should be done, but yeah, I gotta start up another print bed. So I got orders in overnight, so I'm like, let me work on these.
Three times a year I fill it. He's
he's not very smart about it. He'll wait till it gets low and then call him and pay whatever the rate is. And, you know, it'll be winter time. We'll be paying $4 a gallon for it. All right, I just power cycled this camera that I brought back from the golf course. See if I can figure out what it's using for pictures. One of them Chinese sticky visions. There's your lovely sun alarm cameras. Yeah. They have an extra sitting there, so I grabbed it because I want to see how it'll make sure it'll go into the, we got the 153, alright, let's see, I want to use a Unify NVR, swap out the Sticky Vision for this Unify NVR, but before I do, I want to make sure it, you know, it'll work. Cameras for the house. I want to get the whatever. I don't remember the name of it. No. We use at the site. I want to get those. Can't figure out how many I need and where to put them. Yeah, because I'm gonna. I want to replace it. Supposedly the Unify camera system will work with any camera, or with not, or it'll work with any ONIFPS camera. And I've tested it at the site, one of the sites with one of the cameras. I want to say when I did the house in McCollum Township, I found some software to kind of lay out the house and you know, say what cameras you want and what the field of view is, and it'll kind of give you the idea of what coverage you're going to get.
Yeah, the Unify has that. What do you mean signal, Jeff? I'm looking really at the meter. I have full signal.
Static.
Oh, well, the winds are blowing up there. I'm looking at the meter, it says full signal into the receiver. Heck, I'm even tickling Bancroft.
There's your phase knowledge, your meter here, so I'm on a quarter wave right now. I haven't reassembled the car after the weekend. Dual 5/8 back on.
I'll tell you, because you were fading out.
Oh well. Unify has a software for it. You can. Unify has a software you can put your plans, you know, your draw your layout out and put cameras in it and angles and all that.
If you buy their system, or has been something I can go free and play with.
Well, it's free and play with. Obviously, it only preloads what their types of cameras are, so that for fields of view and all that.
Oh, of course, the tool to sell you their cameras. I think I remember what I used before. It was pretty crude, like it didn't, I just had to put generic camera in there. I was kind of hit or miss if it was actually the right field of view and everything.
Alright, camera says the default little pad. They must have set a password in it. Of course, they won't tell me what it is. So I need to default the camera. How do I do that? Just to hold the button for 30 seconds and then apply power. Just put it on a Smile FM. Yeah, sorry, I was rolling over the resources thing. WS. Well, I guess it's time to hang out with the ex for a while. Hey, anyway. Enjoy, WS.
Good afternoon, 1300 hours, sunny, 80 degrees.
W8VD, AB here.
WAGD Mobile.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Sunny. 81 degrees.
WDHKLL KFH DIC. WDHKLL WDHKLL KFH DIC. W8FU.
Leaving work early
today? No, I'm just leaving lunch.
Oh, I just did the same thing. Just beer board. Now I'm heading over to 7
Yeah, I just got to figure out whether I'm going back or whether I'm got to meet up with Phil. I think he's in the shore. I'd rather just head there and meet up with him, but I got to check my messages and make sure I understand where he's at, what his schedule is, make sure it lines up. Let me jump out of here for a minute and figure out whether I got to make the right turn or go straight here. The next intersection I just pulled over, I got to read some text. W8FU.
Hey, can you hear me? W8FU. Alrighty then. Time to make the donuts.
This would be a good day to go take a dip in the pool if you have one.
I got one, but it's not open yet. KFA, TWF. Dip me in the pool and kick me for sinking. Oh wait, that's not it.
I don't have a pool, so I'll just have my wife spray me with the hose and water me like a plant.
Uh-huh. Good afternoon, Brian. Good afternoon, everybody. Well, people better know what the heck it's talking about because it's taking me on a weird, path to get where I'm going.
Well, I can understand that. The map isn't always right.
I have found that if I don't pay attention to what the Google Maps or Waze is telling me, that I often pay for it. So it makes sense for me to pay attention.
Yeah, that just happened to me. My coworker and I left Ford Road in Southfield. Didn't put it in the map this time. He got off on Davis, and I missed Davis, and ended up taking 96 to 75 to Gratiot, up to Van Dyke, and here I am 5 minutes before him, and there he is. Take it easy. I'll be off of that KCKGO.
That was weird. I'm on Southbound Harper. Instead of just having me go down to 11 and shoot straight on to 696, it had me take 12 over to, it had me take 12 over to 94, get on 94, take that south, and then get on to 696. I guess it makes sense. I would have just went right down to 11 and, this is probably more sensible. Who knows? All roads get me there. Down and down. Double great
interview. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Sunny. 83 degrees.
W8FU, ABPR.
I just got that call. Was that you, Phil? KZ8.
I'm sorry, you're pretty noisy. Who was that?
It's Dave, K Kilo Zulu 8 Zulu. That's really funny. Yeah, I'm at 24 mile and chain or trying to hit the Warren repeater. Huh.
Yeah, that was better. Noisy, but I copied you. Hi, Dave. Yeah, actually, I'm going to be not far from here. You know, I'm going to senior and M59 right now. So, hey. try my repeater too. It's, I think it's working pretty good out that way. The 2.5.
WAW.
Is that you, Sean?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you. Can, when I get the radio, can I program in public service stuff to listen to? Like, on my area, you know, the fire departments and stuff, or do you got to have a whole different, you got to be trunking, I assume, for to do that, right?
Well, it's got to be it's got to be UHF, which none of it is, so... Hey, yeah, sure. Anything UHF you can put in there.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking? Yeah, that's not going to work. All right. So, that's fine. Dave, you back there yet? Nah, not making it.
Ooh, which Dave is that, and where about he at?
Yeah, Dave, Z, what's his, WZH, yeah, is that it? Do I have that right?
KZHB. Yeah, he lives in an area that's kind of weird, because like, nobody covers him all that well for portable or mobile operation. If he's on the house radio, he can generally work you, me, but he's just in a funky area when he's out running around. I was just curious which repeater he was on and what he was running.
Yeah, I think he doubled, but you covered him up. Try again, Dave.
Yeah, I was, I think either I fat-fingered the new programming to my radio, meaning the new PL phone, and it's not working, or I'm just not making it. I'm at Chainer and maybe 23 this time I'm heading south, going down to Warren, going down to Van Dyke and 13.
Which repeater are you on, and...
You're kind of crackly, snap, crackle, poppy. I'm just running what you're running, which repeater you got.
So, probably not that much different distance-wise. All right. So, again, Sean, thank you for dropping this stuff off.
Yeah, no problem. Dave, what are you running and which repeater are you on?
I'm in the car running the TD20, and I'm on the Warren repeater. But Phil was saying I wasn't coming in good either, so I'm wondering if I messed something up when I put the new code plug in this radio a few days ago.
Well, if you were hitting the repeaters, there's nothing you could really do in the code plug except set the power level too low. That's about the only thing you could do. Everything else is correct if you're hitting it. So, all right. Yeah, you should with a DB20 in the mobile with an outside antenna, you should be pretty solid in the Warren. I don't know about the West Bloomfield, maybe not. So, all right, anyhow, I was just curious.
Yeah. Cool. KZHB, I'll be,
I'm on my machine right now, 16-mile on Utica Road. Am I making it?
Yeah, just a very, very little bit of popcorn in there occasionally. It's very, very workable, very good, so no problem. All right, I just pulled up in the driveway. I got to get in because I got to pretty much get in, change, check a few things out, and I got to get back out on the road. I got to be up to Port Kilos
by 4:45, so I got to get some things knocked out before then. I got plenty of time, but I just got to get some stuff knocked out. All right. I think you got everything to go. I'm going to be pretty much incommunicado tomorrow. I got interviews all day, so I'll might have little brief moments of on the air, but for the most part, I'm out of sight, out of mind all day tomorrow. So catch everybody later tonight and or tomorrow evening, maybe. I don't know. You know, drive time, all that. See ya, W8FU.
Okay, yeah, I'll be interested to see if I can hit the repeater for the new radio when I get home. So, alrighty, you have a dog or Italian beef or beef sandwich? I'm guessing, let me think, I'm thinking you're going beef. Catch you later, ABA Peter.
Well, I just ate lunch with Motorola at Aspen. And so I am not hungry at all. I don't even know if I'll be hungry by then. So I'm going to see what the wife wants, and then maybe just bring carry out home for both of us. So by that time, who knows? But right now, I don't feel hungry at all. So, but since I got to bring it home, I don't know if I do the beef sandwich, I got to make sure the beef's separate or the juice is separate, or else I'll have a big soggy mess by the time I get home. All right, talk to you later. You've got to jump out. W8FU.
KFHEAR.
Yeah, KFHEAR. Go ahead, ABAPR.
What's up, Phil? How you doing?
Okay, refresh my memory. Sorry.
See, Sean, if you're still listening, Phil, I'm, you know, make breakfast most of the time. I tried to, at least. So, yeah, I just heard you guys talking, so I wanted to say hi.
Oh, okay, yeah. It takes me a minute to put the call with the face thing. I know who you are exactly. Thanks. So, how's it going? Enjoying this beautiful day?
It would be nice if I didn't have to work, but I got about another hour and then I'm off, and then I can finally relax a little bit, although I have to work a little bit tonight. About an hour around 2200, and that's about it. Just wanted to test out the new node, so I heard you guys and I figured it would be a good opportunity. Hopefully I'm not blowing your ears out.
No, it sounds like you had it set up perfectly. It sounds great. Well, did you get a clear node?
No, I just set up my own with through a VM, and I'm using that little POC that you saw this past Saturday. It's cheap. I know it's cheating, but I wanted to test it to make sure it doesn't drop out or anything like that, so sounds like it's working out okay. Thank you for the report.
Yeah, what kind of radio does that have in it? Is that an SA-818?
Yeah, I have that little USB, I think it's by HSR. Radio, the USB version. I have that plugged into my machine there, and I use that if I'm using an HT, but I'm not using the HT at the moment. I mean, I guess I could try switching over to that. I know it's a little bit noisy. It's got a few pops here and there, so maybe I'll come back with that for a quick one, and I guess you'll let me know.
I'm actually only about a minute out from where I gotta be. So, 7-3 and catch you down the road. ABPR. you later.
Sounds good, Phil. Thank you very much. KF8CAR, clear.
Phil, enjoy.
Good afternoon, 1600 hours, sunny, 84 degrees.
K8RUH.
Barry.
Hot out.
Going on, Anthony, and I don't know who else was in there. W8FU.
What's going on, Sean? How you doing?
Hello, fellas.
Hello, Tom. Terrific. Yeah, I'm just leaving the house. Going to meet some fellows for amateur-related fellowship at Portillo's. Portillo's. Shouldn't it be something like that? The double L is a Y sound, Portillo's.
The place on Hall Road there?
C.
Cool. Yeah, you know... What was it? 2 weeks ago, I was at a brewery, and I saw a couple guys with ham radios on the table on the patio and didn't get a chance to go talk to them. I don't know who they were, but I should have tried to get over there and talk to them. Maybe I'll see them another Friday, though.
Is Portillo's that Chicago place, or is that that Mexican place?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm assuming it's Spanish. I think it's Italian beef, and they've got, I don't know, it's a Chicago-based thing, so I don't know if it's either. Anyhow, it's Portillo's, I say Portillo's, but I don't know that it's a Spanish word. It might be Italian, it might just be Portillo's, or they might say it different. No, they say a lot of things a lot different. We can ask Anthony about that, but I know we say ricotta, and it's like regatta or something like that. It's just, and what else is, there's two or three things that, you know, we say we butcher completely in Italian.
If I was to pronounce it, it'd be Portillo's, but I only speak English, so I never learned Italian, so you're probably asking the wrong guy.
Ricotta. It's ricotta cheese. Sicilian.
There was something that went through my feed on Facebook. There's one of those little clips that runs, and old Italian mother was sitting there with her son, and her son was pronouncing, one of them was ricotta. The other one was, there was two other ones, and she just finally shook her head, and she goes, what the heck are you saying? Oh, Capricola, which is not pronounced anything like that. It was Capricotta or Capricola, Ricotta, and there was one other, and he pronounced it like all of us pronounce it, and she was just shaking her head.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I grew up with my grandfather speaking Italian, but never learned it. So basically, if you want to swear at me or yell at me in Italian, I know what you're saying, but that's about it.
and she's 100% Sicilian. So she speaks it all the time to our mother, who doesn't speak much English. All I know is that her mother, when I used to eat over there, she put a big plate of pasta in front of me and go, mangi, mangi.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about making no baby. Oh, no, that's different. Yeah, I don't know nothing about it. But, the same way with me, Anthony. My grandfather spoke some Gaelic. And, he probably knew what we would know if we had a native-speaking grandfather. I think his father was native-speaking. You know, he was Irish diaspora, fled the Vale. And he picked it up there, and I don't know if he much knew anything, you know, beyond a few words. That's all I heard, and I don't remember any of it, quite honestly. I know about the same amount of Gaelic as anybody else, but Aaron Go Bra and Seed Meats, I'm probably butchering it. I don't even know how to say it, so I don't want to say it and sound stupid. I know all the ones you see at St. Patrick's Day. That's about it.
Yep, the only Italian I know is when he needed me to work faster or I did something wrong. So, that's about it, you know. There's, I remember being at the dining room table and everybody was just yelling in Italian and you had no idea what was going on, but they probably weren't even saying anything mean to each other. Who knows what it was.
Back inside the head, Anthony, go, what's the matter with you? I have an easy one. My grandfather was from England, so that's all he spoke was English.
Yeah, my grandpa and grandpa on my other side were, and my mother, Ukraine. And, I didn't even know she was Ukrainian until I was a young man. You know, they died when she was a baby. She was raised by her older sister here. And, we thought maybe we're Polish, and I think that was in some parts of the family, that's what they thought and all that stuff. And it wasn't until I became a young man that I figured out that my mother was first generation American, Ukrainian, and you would have never known it. That was when you immigrated here and you left it all behind.
Yeah, well, as we all know, that's a thing of the past. Due to current events that are in our face, I guess.
My father was born in Montreal, Quebec, but I asked him when I was little, I'm like, why did you speak French and why did you join the U.S. Army? He says, because I didn't want to speak French. So at 18, he crossed over the border and joined the U.S. Army to become a naturalized citizen. And I'm U.S. born, but I'm Canadian on both sides.
I believe that makes you eligible for citizenship.
I think you're right. You could become a dual citizen, but you'd have to be a citizen of Canada with dual citizenship in the United States. And I don't believe that you can be a U.S. citizen first and have dual citizenship. You either are a U.S. citizen or you're not, I think.
I've looked into it because my mother, she was from Toronto, born and raised, Canadian 100%, and she carried a resident alien green card with her to the day she passed. But I think if I try becoming a dual citizenship, then I have to pay double the taxes, U.S. taxes and Canadian taxes, because I'm then a citizen of Canada.
If you don't live there and make money there and spend money there and anything like that, you don't pay anything, you know, just because you have citizenship. But,
Yeah, I don't. I think U.S. doesn't recognize dual citizenship. You know, you're U.S. citizen. Period. You can be a Canadian. You can have Canadian citizenship. And I don't know whether they recognize dual citizenship, but I think most people get it. They just, you know, if they're there, they want the benefits of citizenship. I don't think. For some people, I suppose the dual citizenship's important, but I think most people just, you know, they want to be a, you know, dual citizenship's a very specific thing. But what do I know?
Sounds like you probably know about as much as I know, which is not much, about this topic at least.
Here. The only reason why I would inquire about it is because that's where all my family's at, is spread throughout Canada. Make it easier to cross the border, I guess, but that's about the only benefit.
I hear they got really good campfires going up there. You can go up there for the wiener roast.
They're definitely good at campfires, that's for sure. So, who are you going to meet, Sean? Anybody that we know?
I think Wally will be there. Paul from my shop. I'm 100% sure if you know Paul. And then Dave and Mike. It's an ARPSC meeting. And I don't often make this particular one, but I don't make any of them typically, but this is the, I figured I got a couple of things, not really important, but I got a couple of things I figured, you know what, I'll shoot up there and make an appearance.
That's cool. I gotta connect with Wally soon. I don't know if you saw, I got a couple of XPR 6550 VHF radios, and he said he's pretty confident he has the software to program them, so I just got to figure out how I want to program to see if I can connect with him and learn how to do that.
Yeah, he has my XPR 4550 that I got from, whatever his name is now, Chris. That's it, Chris Anthony. He gave me an XPR 6550 VHF, so I think Wally's going to try to program that for me also. KACA, KJO.
So, if they're VHF, they're pretty easy. I've got the software, and the programming's pretty easy. You know, because there's no DMR on VHF. At least amateur related. I don't know if there's some commercial stuff, but I know of no VHF DMR. So that makes them pretty easy to program. Now, if you got a UHF one and you're programming it up for any, you know, for the DMR systems, that's a whole different kettle of fish, and that gets a little bit involved. It's not, you know, insurmountable, but you need more than Cliff Notes to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I can even do with them. I may even just see about wiping the programming that's on there and selling them, because there's not a lot of VHF around here. Not real sure that I'm going to have a big use for them. So we'll see what happens, though. They're really cool radios.
Go ahead, VD.
Go ahead, Wally. ACKGO.
There's actually more, I don't know why, just a second here, the thing is kind of low with the ring.
What repeater are you on, Wally, because you're really rough?
I had to fix it. I should be more better.
Right, you're more better. So go ahead and make your entrevue and pass it to, I guess, pass it to Anthony then.
Yeah, there's actually a lot more VHS stuff than you think. I mean, because I've got one at home that scans, and they do quite a bit of talking on all of them, and the 7.2 has been upgraded and updated and repaired and tuned in and everything else, so that one works really remarkably well, and I can't remember, there's a couple, three other ones that there's quite a bit of activity on, so I was kind of surprised how much there was of the VHF, you know, stuff, because I always thought, yeah, that's a no, that's a nothing burger, but actually there were a lot more people on it than I thought. Go ahead, Anthony. W8B.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and yeah, I got to do a little bit of research on how they operate a little bit more, and then catch up with one of you guys to see what it would take to get some programming done and go from there. But I just pulled up at the house, so I'm going to hop out and catch up with you gentlemen later. This is K8RUH. Everybody have a great evening.
Just real quick, Anthony, before you jump out, what repeater were you on? Warren the whole way?
Yep, just got to the house. I've been on Warren the whole time.
All right, very good. Catch you later. Tom?
Well, I think mine is a 65 pick here. No, I think that was a 4500 at GHS that I handed off to you at the last ARC meeting.
Yeah, I think it's XPR 455. All those are easy to program in. What Sean said is 100% true. If you don't have to mess around with the DMR part of it, it's really easy. I mean, it's really easy to program it then. So it's when you get into the DMR and you got to get the talk group right and the color code right and the time slot right. And then you got to get, you have to get everything just right in order for it to work. And then the scanning part of it is a little bit difficult too. So there's a lot to it for that end of it. But just analog stuff, yeah, it goes pretty quick. I got a whole bunch of frequencies already listed out in my XTL. I'll just copy those and paste them or do something and get them in there. But I can't. K8O, I think, is one of the repeaters that's fairly busy. As I said, I was kind of surprised how busy it was. Go ahead, John. W8.
Yeah, VHF was king for a number of years, and it still seems to be the rock of most clubs. You know, there's a VHF repeater associated with most of the clubs, Lands Cruise, you know, Hazel Park, Useka, you know, all these clubs, they anchor around a VHF repeater. They're just not, you know, there's not really any pairs, and, these repeaters have been up for decades and all that stuff, and, no, there's plenty, and, you know, like you pointed out, the 7.2 is, you know, getting a little life, so, you know, and more plans. Lance Cruise is always pretty active. The Dart's always really active. Then there's the repeaters downtown. There's the, you know, I don't even know all of them, but there's several downtown VHF repeaters that are somewhat active, and, you know, I just don't get on VHF that much. No, there's nothing wrong with VHF. I just, you know, we tend to be UHF-centric. We always have been. Even back when VHF was king, you know, we would come hide out up here on UHF. And, you know, and now, you know, and then I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was surplus equipment or what, but UHF just became the place. And suddenly, I think it has a lot to do with things like, you know, Fusion and DMR and all these other things. You know, we're all linking, you know, we're all coming up on UHF, so... You know, person bought a monobander, you know, they get UHF because, you know, they wanted the digital. So, I don't know. Anywho, enough on all that. No, you know, there's nothing wrong with the VHF radio. I don't have a whole lot of use for it. I do like a dual banner. I like they have the option. But most of the time I run around with just the UHF quarter wave on my car. So even if I've got the option, I don't have the antenna for it. so go figure.
Tom? Comment.
Okay, somebody jumped up there. Go ahead, KCKGO.
KE4ZYQ. One thing I was just going to add to your conversation briefly is the smart repeater is a very underused VHF repeater system with one on Henry Ford in here in Macomb County, Clinton Township, and one on Royal Oak and one in Novi. Very underused VHF, very reasonable repeater system. Over to you, Tom, and don't put me in the loop. I just thought I'd jump in briefly. You guys are doing good. Over to you, Tom, from KE4ZYQ.
Well, my first mobile was just strictly VHF until that one died, and then I started getting into the UHF aspect of it, and been kind of staying there, except for 47.2 for ARPS, and I'll jump over there. But I'm like you guys, I found you guys out here, and this is where I kind of stick.
Yeah, well, Sean put a lot of resources in the 7200, and the club did, and a lot of people did, and that's working remarkably well. So, I agree with Joe, there's a lot of underutilized stuff, too, but I couldn't believe it. I just went to my ARC, and I went to Radio Reference, and all the ones I saw I put in there, and there's a fair amount of traffic. Nothing wrong with it. VHF was kind of like the start of all of it, I thought, at least for this type of communications. And with that, I'm going to get out of here. I am trying to cross the eastbound traffic on Hall Road. I am at the light, so I'm going to go to our meeting and talk about stuff. So you guys all have a good one. Sean, you're probably here too. So go ahead and take it. WA meeting out.
I am just getting off the freeway. It says I've got 2 miles to go, 8 minutes. So I will see you there in 7 or 8 minutes. So I'll be there just about on time. W8F.
I think the Chicago stuff is pretty good from what I hear. If you want pizza, there you go. KCKQ.
No, it's the roast beef or Chicago beef sandwich. That's what the golden standard is. I grew up in Chicago.
Yeah, Portillo's doesn't do pizza, as far as I know. I'm pretty sure. They got the Chicago-style hot dogs, the Chicago-Italian-style beef. Then they got a couple other things and hamburgers. That's about the extent of it.
But the Italian beef is pretty darn close. Hey, Joe, you want to finish this up? Go ahead.
Guys, have a good afternoon. I'm going to use a bottle of water. I am quenched. Get you.
Sorry, Tom, I talked on you. Joe, you want to finish this up? Go ahead. WAVD.
KE4ZYQ. No, I signed. I just wanted to mention about the VHF repeater not being in use a lot. The smart repeater, which is a very good linked repeater for a big area, and it runs pretty good with very little noise. You guys have a good evening, a good day tomorrow. 7-3 from KE4ZYQ.
Well, I will say, okay, we'll see you, Joe. I will say this, too. I know Anthony's no longer listening, and he's the one that we're talking about this still about. He's long gone. But don't forget this as well. The whole UHF craze thing is somewhat unique to Southeast Michigan. We lost every pair available on VHF down here a long time ago. Pairs are just too hard. So, we moved into most of your high population density areas moved into UHF very quickly. you get outside of Metro Detroit, and VHF is still probably king. UHF is secondary. You know, it's just down here that UHF kind of spread its wings because of the population density and just how much, how many repeaters there were. So VHF is very useful. It's just we happen to live in an area and at a time where, you know, UHF is kind of the king in this area here. And I got a new name for that. We call it the Golden Butthole, but you know what I'm thinking? I'm going to start calling it the Sterling Heights Prince Albert. I'm almost here.
So most of the stuff up here out of the city is a lot to do with Skywarn too. So that's one thing that's kept it good up here, and you got the link system that goes up the west side of the state. But I hear you guys all the time on all the way down, both down, so keep up the good work.
And I'm just arriving at my destination here, so this will be my final. But who was that? I didn't recognize the voice there.
This is Steve KCI. We're just up here by the bird belly repeater, and I think he's talking a lot. But I'm on here at Saginaw Club and the Siwassee Club, and a lot of it's got to do with the stuff up here, too. It's just the sky warm launch, so that's how it is. So you go on whatever you want to, and just enjoy it.
There you go. Audio is a little bit hot, so it's a little difficult to read. But anyhow, okay, good hearing you. Take care. And I have arrived at my destination, so I'm going to get on inside for the festivities. A mile a minute. W8FU.
W8FU, enjoy your Chicago stuff beef or whatever it is. KCKO.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, sunny, 84 degrees.
NADDF.
Okay, that's T-Mobile.
How's it going, man?
Not bad, just almost home. And
I wish, my GPS keeps adding time for whatever reason, so I'm trying to figure out how I want to go home.
Yeah, I hit a bump and my radio shut off. Yep, I had to take a different route than I usually do, and actually it's probably going to be better, because I usually take 75 to 59, and it looked like 59 was all backed up when you did take the ramp there to go west. So I continued straight and hit University, and I'm on Walton now, so I'm just about home.
I just pulled out of my parking lot, so we'll see how long this takes. It said 49 minutes initially, now it's saying 45, so hopefully that's a good sign.
Am I sounding okay? By the way, I'm on the West Bloomfield. I see it's 6 now.
Yep, you're in there solid. I did want to ask, when you hit a bump in your radio, it turned off. What are you working with over there?
I've got a FTM 300, but it's just running through a cigarette lighter, but it's a pretty high amperage cigarette lighter plug in the work stand. They started putting bigger amperage plugs in these things, and it's actually from Radio Shack back when they were around. It's a cigarette lighter plug with banana posts, a positive and a negative on it, so it's pretty heavy duty.
Well, that's kind of slick. I didn't know they made those. You could probably, you're what? I'm trying to think what I pull on 50 watts. I want to say it's less than like 15 amps, right? So you're probably more than safe to run it off of that if they're putting at least a 10 amp.
Yeah, it's really strange because I can run 50 watts no problem on UHF, but when I start running 50 on VHF, I start popping fuses. So I don't know if VHF has a higher current draw or what, but that's always been my experience for some reason, no matter what radio I'm on.
VHF is typically rated for more power on a dual band mobile, so they're probably pulling a little bit more amperage.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it says this one's 50 on both bands, but it's probably slightly higher on VHF.
I know your commute's different than mine, but I mean, if you can run around on 25 watts on a cigarette plug, that's kind of awesome. Makes install and swapping it in a different vehicle pretty easy.
Yeah, being in a work vehicle, I can't really have anything permanently mounted, so it works out pretty good.
Even if you did like a tap a fuse, or like do you not have the same work vehicle all the time?
No, I have the same one all the time, but it's just convenient if I need to have somebody ride with me and I gotta take the radio out or whatever. All right, I'm in my neighborhood now. I'm gonna have to jump out of here. I'll listen out in case you get us a good piece.
All right, man. Sounds good. Good talking to you. I'll catch you later. Any DBF, I'll be standing by.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Are you back on this side of town?
I'm actually near Ann Arbor, and I hacked the tone scouts while you guys are talking.
I didn't know this was linked all the way over there.
Yeah, I'm on 443575. It's probably, I don't know, probably Grass Lake or something.
Well, you sound good. What do you want? Is that your 500 or are you on an HD?
It's my 500. I have it at high power right now because I don't know where the repeater exactly is, but it seems to be making it in. I guess it matches one of the Ohio frequencies.
Well, wherever it's at, you sound good. Did you do a successful pickup?
Yep, I got the puppy. My wife's been back. She's got a headache right now. In her migraine, and yeah, it was an interesting trip. I didn't expect us to go all the way to Amish country, but that's where we were.
Where did you have to pick the pup up from?
It's like Berlin, Ohio, so that makes sense. German immigrants, Berlin. The lady's name had a German name. So like, it's all making sense. But it was in this cool little valley, and then all of a sudden, like, you see all these people riding, you know, the horses and the buggies.
I've never heard of that. What major city is it closest to?
Mansfield would be the closest big city, which I've never really heard of, and then Cleveland is like, if you were to go to, you look on the map where Cleveland is, and then go directly south, that's where we were.
So you've got like 7-8 hours in the car today.
Yeah, we were on the road at about 8:30, and what is it, 5:30 right now? I'm in Ann Arbor right now because I'm avoiding going through downtown Detroit. I think there was another station, so I'm going to pause there. Go ahead, KFA Doug.
Yeah, that frequency is definitely Berlin Heights, Ohio, and the grid square is EN81SH there. That's quite the trip. KAWOJ.
Oh, no, I'm in Michigan. I'm pretty sure I'm going into, like, Grass Lake or Ann Arbor or somewhere around there.
Okay, could be was the only listing around the area for a repeater book. Sorry to interrupt, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, the repeater identified itself, K-E-A-L-I something repeater system.
I need to look at the bubble chart again. I always forget how massive this network is now.
I tell you what, I had this thing scanning in Ohio, and there was almost nothing. I did check into a net somewhere in Sandusky, Ohio, and it's funny. You're the first time we've heard you. We're going to ring a bell.
I definitely think there's an above average amount of activity in our area, probably because the hams in the area are actually active. But I see that a lot, even in like Facebook groups and stuff. People complain about the repeaters just being completely dead.
Well, some of them are linked. So, like, there was one that was on East Coast Reflector. So I checked in, you know, during the morning drive, checked into that net. And then there was one that, I don't know what network it was, but I think it was the one that you dropped in, or whatever the new one is. Because it was, like, the Boredom Breaker net, which I know is, like, syndicated or something like that, so... But other than that, yeah, there was one guy, he was on his way to something in southern Ohio. I heard him talking to somebody, but it's pretty much quiet. Even GRMS, I was scanning GRMS and nothing.
You were a non-peak time, though, so, I mean, that could be something to do with it. It's not like these repeaters are bumping outside of commute times or later at night. At least not that I've heard, but yeah, I just feel like we have the network's big enough and there's enough people on them that you'll find someone.
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm liking driving on this 23. It's like nice and calm. I think I'm going to try to take it all the way up to 59 and just head east from there.
Well, I just jumped off of 53 because it's that 14-minute backup at 23 miles for whatever reason.
Yeah, see, that doesn't sound like fun to me. That's why I'm taking my time. But, yeah, what was I going to say? There was one thing I was going to mention. I forgot. I don't remember. It'll come to me if it's important.
I'm seeing how well I remember the back roads over here on 23 Mile Road to sneak out.
So did you get off at 23 Mile, or where are you at?
Yeah, I had to make a last-minute dive onto the 23 East exit. Now I'm at Walmart. I'm going to jump on Shelby Parkway and then run that up to... I think I can hit 26 from there, and then I'll take that over to the expressway and hopefully bypass all the traffic.
Yeah, that should go all the way to 26. could always turn right and go up Wyoming. Wow, let's take you out of the way. You want to get back on the freeway.
NADDF. I don't know what it is, but it's like this is a daily thing now where I have to play roulette with which way I'm going to take home.
KFADA. Yeah, I do not miss commuting. When I was driving to through Detroit this morning, I'm like, I don't know how people stay sane if they have to go to work every day like that. You know, if they have to go downtown to work.
Oh, I know. I couldn't do it. I was talking to my wife about that yesterday. Like, I could probably take a 25% increase if I worked in the city, and I refused to do it. My old job was enough for me to realize that I don't want to do it. Just commuting to Wixom, I was like, I can't do this. This isn't insanity. Sitting in the car for an hour and a half every day because of traffic.
Yeah, I'm hoping 23 hits 59. I assume it does because it's going north. And it goes all the way to Flint.
Oh, yeah, 23 should touch 59. Breaking station, go ahead.
Very good, yeah. That's what I was going to say. There was no cell service in Amish country. And so, like, I lost my navigation. I had to go by memory from looking at the map.
Yeah, it's pretty rural down there.
Look at this, they have a carpool lane. See, I got me and my wife are in the car. I get to use it, right?
That you need to have as a passenger.
Alrighty. Yeah, a big green arrow. I've never been this way, so this is all new to me.
So I forgot, Shelby Parkway turns into Jewel, so you can run that.
Yeah, how's the traffic on that? Is it okay?
For 5:30, it could be way worse. Back off where I'm sitting.
Yeah, I think you're in between repeaters a little bit.
Let's see, is UMP okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I was on Warren, so I should be good. I mean, that's what run me to Armada, so. But, yeah, just making my way home. How much time you got left with the GPS in this thing? About an hour, hour and a half?
Yeah, hour and a half, and I think whatever system I'm on here that I discovered, it's doing like some kind of cross repeat, so it might not actually be a CMN system.
What do you think? They're just a one-off repeater that's linked in?
Well, it's interesting, like when I, when I unkey, it makes like a dial tone like sound, and then it has the courtesy tone, which is interesting. It's like it's getting two repeater tones.
Why would that be?
I do not know, and I'm just guessing. You know, I don't know if that's true or not.
So
real sweet that you're an hour and a half away, and the network is, or network or not, it's a link that far.
Yeah, for, yeah, I mean, nobody's using these systems, you might as, I mean, at that point, like you say, you might as well link them, but, oh no, what's going on? I guess, you know, if it gets heavy traffic, that's when you unlink things, but, yeah, now I'm in the carpool lane, but everything's slowing down. I don't know what's going on.
Five-thirty is what's going on.
Well, I give kudos to the Amish people because they know how to raise, it seems like they know how to raise their animals. This dog has been very calm the whole ride home. And very familiar with humans and, you know, the whole crate thing and sitting in the bed and all that stuff. So we haven't had any issues. No yelping or anything like that. Of course, you know, later we'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah, you might not be sleeping much tonight. I'm going to have the Amish build me a shed. My dad's done a lot of work with them. They're good people. A little different, but they're good people.
Yeah, I wanted to say they're probably like high, I don't know what, you know, Mennonite or whatever, but they seem to not be against technology. They have, you know, they have the horse and the buggy, but they use phones, for example, and all their houses down there. I mean, pretty much every house I saw down there had solar panels on it.
I've always wondered how different families draw different lines in technology. Like, my dad's worked with some that they'll get dropped off at a job site with nothing, but they'll use your power tools and they'll use your cell phone to call people, but then they'll get picked back up and go home and not have any of that. So I've never fully understood how they do that or why and how they pick and choose.
Yeah, they probably just agree as a community. The elders decide, stuff like that. They also don't want people leaving their community, or they want to, you know, there's some that are really strict, and then there's some that are progressive a little bit.
Like anything else, there's people all over the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't include, you know, going back to, like, when they're picking the puppy, it didn't dawn on me that they were Amish, because like, they don't tell you exactly where the breeder is until you actually commit. But, like, in the video, I was like, I thought it was weird that they had a little girl playing with the puppy, and she was wearing, like, these long shirt pajamas, and that's what all the Amish wear out there. They wear the long dresses. Like, it never occurred to me until we actually were in the, you know, this looks like Amish country.
So how did you find this pup?
I was looking online, and I was going to a couple sites, and I found one that looked more it looked legit. They have puppy guarantees. They have all this. They said the right things, anti-puppy mills and all that stuff. And so then I called them up, asked them questions and things like that, and the company started kind of during COVID, and so it was just like a marketplace for the breeders to put their listings. Because I did see this puppy listed on a different marketplace thing, so you get a chance to like message the breeder and all that stuff. So I was confident that this was the way to go after going through a couple things. So. I mean, they also check you out, too. It's not like, do they check the breeder out? Do they check you out, too? They do a background check on you so you're not like, somebody random going to poach their puppies. And so the breeder has to agree to sell the puppy to you. And so, you know, you kind of write a little summary, why do you want a dog, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
NAD, yeah. Well, at least they vet people before they just ship the pups. My dog is a $150 Craigslist dog, and I had to go get him in Muskegon. And the place I got him, he was the home that I got him from, he was taken care of, but, you know, you're not getting paperwork or anything for that.
Yeah, I mean, most of the cost for this pup was all the veterinary and stuff, especially with the golden doodles. The breeder has to do a lot more with the genetic match. You know, they have to check him for dysplasia and all that stuff, and she's got all of her shots. So, I mean, most of her shots. I think we're going to do a puppy wellness vet visit and get the results to the, you know, third party that was helping us. And if they have any kind of parasites or anything, then they will cover it. The third party will cover it as, like, part of their guarantee. And they give you, like, 30 days of free MetLife pet insurance. Of course, when you call the number, they try to get you to sign up for a year and all that stuff. So it checks a lot of the boxes. So, I mean, we have everything covered, at least for the first month. And, you know, if something happens to the dog, we have kind of, like, insurance. Like, they'll give us our money back and stuff like that. Hopefully nothing happens, and we have a nice, healthy dog, but I'm glad they have that stuff.
Those are a good breed. My buddy's got two of them. They've been great. He's had, like, next to no issues aside from them doing dumb stuff. And needing to go to the vet, like cutting their paws open or eating stuff they're not supposed to, but health-wise, they've been great. Thinking about it, man, it's been so long since I got a dog. I can't imagine getting another dog and having to do all that. I remember, like, vaguely, you know, the vet trips and the register, you got to register it and all that stuff, and it's like, I haven't done that in 12 years.
Theta. Yeah, I'm, you know, whenever you get a new puppy or a dog, it's overwhelming at first. You're like, what did I do? But after you get into that routine, like, I went from elder senior dog, right, and doing senior care, and now we're doing puppy care. So it's going to be like a flip. Now where the senior dog was just slow and you had to, like, turn around. Now, we got to focus on the training part, and I'm hoping the kids will help with that. I'm going to kind of take a back seat, let them go to the obedience classes with the dog and, you know, see what they do, and then I'll be there to step in if they're not, if they're not following what the instructors say. So I think we'll be in good shape, but, you know, time will tell. You know, we might have a little gremlin, but so far she seems like a really good family dog, very keen at the moment, but I'm sure it's going to need a lot of exercise and stuff, so we'll see.
Yeah, your world just flipped upside down. You went from both ends, one end of the spectrum to the other. You're right. The routine kind of just turns into everyday life. I've got, like I said, mine's going to be 12 in October. And not that I don't think about them, but it's just like taking care of your kids, right? Like, it's not even a thought. You just do it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty much a homebody, so, you know, the dog's going to have somebody around all the time. And we'll probably be able to take her places with us as well. So I look forward to that. Take her to parks and stuff like that. The other dog couldn't really do that. But, of course, you got to wait until she's fully vaccinated and all that fun stuff.
So is she 8 weeks or 12 weeks?
Ah, 13 weeks. So, you know, when we looked at it, got her or whatever, you know, paid for her, she was 12, but then it had to get vet clearance before it could be sold to us, and then, so now this is week 13.
All Well, you have that going for you, at least. She's a little bit older. I have mine at 6 weeks, which is too young. I think 8 weeks is, like, the recommended minimum. And it was tough. Like, he could barely get around. Like, he was just a baby. And it made the first month of having him much more difficult than it needed to be. So I imagine she's getting around well and eating fine and all that stuff, and she's just a tiny little pup and just needs attention and to keep her out of things.
Yep, we're going to find out. So she's, the breeder's been taking them outside, doing crate training. Like, they had a kennel type of situation there. And, they had kids between, I think, was 4 years old and 14. So, so they've been around kids, they've been around, socialized with other dogs, so I'm hopeful everything will be good, you know. So, we'll see. But anyways, I think I'm getting out of range of this repeater thingy, so, and I think you're almost home probably anyway, so I'll go one more round and say 73 KFAS.
I was just about to say you're getting pretty snowy, so yeah, you're getting close. You're not frying, but you're getting snowy. And yeah, I'm almost home too. I gotta make a phone call. I think I'm gonna go try to get some groundhogs today. And got out of work at a decent time. So good catching up with you, dude. I'll talk to you soon and have a safe trip home, and congrats on the new pup. And I'll catch you later. At 8 DDF, I will be clear.
NADDF KE8WOJ.
I think that was KE8WOJ. I got a quick second here. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I heard you were going to go out and poke some dogs there. You're a hunter and shooter there. Do you also hand load?
You know, I get that question a lot because I love building varmint rifles and hunting varmint, and that is a drug that I have stayed away from because I know it would, it requires a lot of time and attention, but mainly the cost. I know I would get way too carried away with it. And truth be told, I'm shooting factory ammo out of a not that expensive of a rifle, and the results I've had, I haven't found the need. Let's put it that way. I don't shoot any wildcats, so I've not found the urgency to start hand loading, but it's something I would love to dive into one day.
Gotcha. It's a definite addiction. You know, I used to crave hunting, and it always drove me nuts that I had to wait 50 weeks to do 2 weeks of gun hunting for deer. And actually, load testing became my my year-round sport or hobby kind of thing. I love it. It's a ball. And but anyway, it's kind of like radios. You know, you can tune your ammo to the barrel kind of thing. And I have mostly off-the-shelf rifles, and you know, they'll mostly shoot a factory ammo, maybe 2 or 3 MOA at 100 yards kind of thing. Where with hardly any work at all, you can bring that down to 1 minute angle. You know, 1 inch at 100 yards, and getting down to a half inch, that's a little bit more work. Getting under a half inch with 5-box shot groups, that's a little bit more work. But it's definitely an addiction, and it is. You know, you gotta lay out a lot of money to get some of the equipment at first, the presses and the dies and all that. But then, basically, people always ask me, is it cheaper? And it's not cheaper. It's just you get to shoot a lot more for the same amount of money.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, you're getting, in my opinion, you're getting better results for the same money too. I don't shoot a lot, and not lately at least. Like I said, my go-to varmint rifle, my newest one that I've been about 2 years into now. It's just a 223 Ruger American Gen 2. I've got it in a Magpul Hunter stock because it's got the aluminum chassis built into it, and that's really all I do. I got a suppressor on it. I'm shooting 55 grain, cooking at like 31 average, and I'm shooting 3-inch steel plates at 300 yards, like not themselves. That's what I'm saying, where I have not had the need to try to refine that anymore because I'm not missing. As soon as I start missing, and usually if I'm missing, it's me. But if I get a rifle that just doesn't like any ammo, I usually just, I'm not going to lie, I usually just move it along. I had a 17 HMR that was like that. That's my other weapon of choice. I probably killed more animals with a 17 HMR than any other caliber. But if a gun doesn't like a variation of factory loads that are my go-to, I usually don't bother with it and I move it along.
Oh, I got you. That's kind of nice. I end up spending the whole summer. I get a new caliber, a new rifle, and I end up spending spring, summer, and fall finding the load for it, you know. Well, once it's spring loaded, and, you know, you do a few little things to it. But you're getting out to the end of your string there, and there was just a load, big sale going on primers, so I figured if you were a hand loader, I'd let you know. But nice talking with you, and have a great night, and we'll catch you again. T8WOJ.
Yeah, usually when I get into town, it gets pretty noisy. And I'm not saying, you know, I buy a gun, and if I don't like how it shoots, I go buy another one of the same kind. I'll put a fair amount of effort into it, and then I move it along. But my bread and butter is my CZ rifles. I swear by those things. They just eat and shoot anything without any effort. I've got a CZ 455 Varmint 17 HMR with just a Vortex Viper on it, and a Harris bipod, and it's threaded. That's it. I've done nothing else to the gun, and it shoots lights out, and that's kind of how that 223 is. So, like I said, I'm gonna dive into it at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, but at a different point in life. And I appreciate the heads up, but no, I'm not a hand loader yet. So I am gonna clear out, though. I know I'm probably pretty noisy right now, but I'm about home anyway. So good talking to you, and I'll catch up with you later. NADVS.
Okay, have a good one. Actually, you're pretty clear on that one. And yeah, I've got an old Sako 243 Varmint that I like to play with a lot. The guy when I bought it was trying to talk me into 6 PVC, but I wanted a hunting caliber, so I was adamant on the 243. But I kind of wish I'd have got the 6 PVC now after having it for years, because 243's burn the throat out pretty quick. But anyway, have a good one. Great talking with you. Good luck with the hogs. KE8WOJ, I'll be clear.
DRC.
WD8KLL.
Good going.
Oh, pretty good. How you doing, Jack? A little warm outside, huh?
My car says 89, and I'm over here at Gratiot on 17 miles.
Roger that. You mobile?
Yes. I don't know how am I sounding on Warren.
Sound excellent. Not a problem at all. So did you run to the store today?
I was at Menards on 59. Then, I don't know, then I came back here to 16. And now I go back on 59.
Good old 59, yeah. I remember those days. used to go to work every day at Crooks in 59 there. Get off at Crooks or Adams.
Adams is Crooks.
All right, Jack. I heard you out there. Just called back. We're getting ready to eat dinner here, so we'll chat at you later. KF8DRC, this is WD8KLL, we'll be clear.
WD8KLL, K
KFAGIC.
Oh, he sound like a couple rookies.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know how am I sounding.
Sounds just fine, Jack.
Talk later.
All right, my friend. WDAKL, all clear.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Sunny. 84 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours. Sunny. 83 degrees.
On WD8KLL, this is KF8EDQ, clear and monitoring.
KF8EAP, trying out a new antenna on the truck.
Yeah, copy that station. You're coming in loud and clear. This is KF8EDQ. I didn't catch your call sign.
KF8EAP, Echo Alpha Papa, and coming in from Birch.
Yeah, copy that. I believe we've spoken before, but I have a piece of paper with a mess of call signs on it, and I can't seem to... Oh, here we go. No, I've written down... I can't find it. I've written down your call sign before. How are you doing today?
Doing real good. It was just setting up the new magnetic antenna on top of the car, getting ready for a little trip down through Ohio into Pennsylvania, so wanted to make sure I was connected.
Yeah, copy that. You're coming in crystal clear. Yeah, I was 5x9, I'd say. So, yeah, take care. I'll be clear and monitoring after your final. Good luck with your trip there. This is KF8.
Alright, thanks a lot. That's pretty much what I need to know. KF8, EAP, out.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Sunny. 81 degrees. Good evening. 21 hours. Sunny. 77 degrees.
N1KRD.
Good evening. 22 hours. Mostly clear. 75 degrees.
KE8LAX N1KRD, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing alright. Sorry, I had my window rolled down, didn't catch the call, but I'm doing pretty good. Nice warm day, and finally headed back home from work. How are you this evening?
Yeah, doing pretty good over here too. I definitely don't blame you with the window down. I'm out here in the backyard watering some plants, and feels good. Yeah, call again is N1KRD, November 1, Kilo Romeo Delta. Name here is Nick.
Hey, Nick, the name over here is Dean, and the call is KE8LAX. I mean, with the radio on, I can run the AC, I don't mind, but, I'm also used to, being on a bike most of the summer, so rolling the window down doesn't bother me much.
Yeah, no, I definitely, prefer the window down if it's okay, not too high, then, don't have any kids in the backseat, sometimes that gets a little, tough with them. But yeah, so you pulled the bike out yet this year?
So I actually never really put it away. I believe Thanksgiving and Christmas I also went for a short ride. And I never really put it up, so I never really winterize it. I just ride it here and there on occasion. But oh yeah, I've had it out. I was doing some work on the truck, so I've been driving it the last couple days, but other than that, I've been on the bike.
All right, yeah, good deal. Do you ever get play with the radio on the bike, or is that a separate thing?
So I've never actually done it, but I found a Baofeng that actually has Bluetooth audio built into it, and they're advertising that it'll work with the, you've got the two helmet Bluetooth, the Cardo and the Senna, and it claims that it will work with both. So I'm interested in possibly picking that up and seeing if I can actually talk on the bike through the helmet set.
Okay, yeah, I hadn't heard of that Baofeng, but actually the mobile I don't have a bike, but the mobile I use in my car is the VGC VRN7500. I don't know, you might have seen they came out with relatively recently the VRN76 handheld, but they got a mobile unit, and it's all Bluetooth and controlled by a app, and there's a fair number of people out there that have been using those with bikes. They got like a little Velcro PTT you can
put on the handlebar, and it works with pretty much any Bluetooth headset, as far as I know.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't even heard of that. That might be something worth looking into as well, especially that bike, because it's a 03 Yamaha Roadstar, and I've got a trailer hitch, a full camping get-up for it, what have you, so that would actually be kind of cool. Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray, back over to you.
Yeah, definitely look that one up. It's a pretty small unit, the radio itself. It does, you know, 50 watts on VHF, 40 on UHF, and then it does APRS too. It's a pretty nice little radio. I think it runs about, I don't know, 180, 190 bucks maybe.
That's not bad at all. I mean, that's not any more expensive than the TYT 7800, which is a Geizu knockoff, but that's about the same price I paid for this radio that I've got in the mobile. So, yeah, that's not too bad. And same wattage, even.
All right, good deal. So, whereabouts are you at, where you live, or what repeater are you working off of?
Right now I'm working off of KC8UMP, which is Mount Clemens, and currently I'm almost home in New Haven, which is 27 in Gratiot.
Okay, right on. Yeah, I didn't realize that repeater was linked up with this one. I wonder if that's a newer link, or I think they've been maybe doing some work on that one. I'm on the West Bloomfield repeater 442.5. I'm over here in Southfield near 8 Mile and Southfield Freeway.
Yeah, I found out that there's a lot of repeaters. They got this, and all three FBI repeaters are on this link. There's a couple out that way. I think there's one in Lansing, and I believe I read there was one in Frankenmuth on this link.
Yes, system. Always good to hear. There it is. And this is N1.
KE8OAS, you came in a little broken on that last. Can you repeat?
I can't even remember exactly what I was saying. I think it's just that this is a good system they have together, and it's always good to hear people popping up on new repeaters and whatnot. So this is Nick over here, N1KRD.
M1KRD, KU8LAX. Yeah, the only thing that I've noticed is that during the storm watch stuff and any emergency training stuff, I think they've changed the links up because when I'm close to one of the FBI machines, I cannot hear anything. I have to individually go to that machine. So I think because of geographical reasons, they unlink.
Okay, yeah, I guess that would make sense. If there's some emergency communications going on, they wouldn't want other areas interfering or just getting information that wasn't necessary.
I would say that those, but I don't know.
I caught a little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the end, but missed most of that. I don't know if it was you or me. I've been kind of moving around here a little bit.
This is Kilo and Kalihima Alpha X-ray. Where I'm at, I'm probably a little broken up. I just bumped the power up. How is that?
Okay, yeah, that's better. I got you. Good on that one.
Yeah, where I live, there's a lot of woods and a lot of taller houses. So right when I get in the driveway area, I get kind of shrouded out and have to bump the power up a bit. But, yeah, I'm gonna get ready to hop in here. It was great talking to you. Thanks for coming back to my call. And hopefully you got your flowers watered, I believe you were saying. And I'm going to say 7-3. This is Kilo Echo Lima Alpha X-ray. And I'll be clear on your sign-up.
All right, yeah, good timing. I'm wrapping up out here, about to head back inside, too. So, yeah, you enjoy your night off work. And catch you out here next time. KE8LAXN1KRD 73.
Good evening, 23 hours, partly cloudy, 71 degrees.